Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
When I lost my father last year, it was good to be home. Though it was a sad moment for us as a family, but at least it was the first time in 35 years that my siblings and I could get together for the first time. So that was special. I came back to South Africa and I said to myself when I woke up the following day, what am I doing here? Where are my siblings? But thank you again for your prayer for us. Allow me to pray before we go into the Word of God. Father, thank you for the family of faith, for brothers and sisters who are your children, whom you love, and with whom we can be on this journey of sanctification, wanting to be more like you, and that doing it together. We stand here before you this morning knowing that we can do nothing without you, and therefore we need you, God, to please you. We need you to know you. We need you to be more like you, and we also need you, O God, to stand before you. And as I come and stand before your presence and before your people this morning, I acknowledge my own sins and I confess them before you, praying that God be merciful to me, be merciful to us, and allow us as we go into your word to hear not a man, not Patrick, but God speaking to us through me. May I, O God, decrease and may Christ increase. And that at the end of the service, we will all say that we met with the Lord and our souls have been blessed. Speak to us, we plead, in Christ's name. Amen. Our text this morning is going to be Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16. Philippians 3, 12 to 16. And the title of our message is, We Are Not There Yet, But We Press On. Now allow me to start by asking this question. How is your Christian life? Do you feel like you are growing spiritually, or do you feel like you are stagnant? Can you tell whether there is progress in this area of your life, or are you just going with the flow? Is there something you want to change in your life? Are you where you want it to be? These are questions I ask myself at the end of every year. It is generally the time to take stock. And from there, New Year's resolutions will be decided or activated. And in our passage this morning, we'll see something similar where the Apostle Paul, if we were to borrow today's terminology, took some resolutions as to how we should live his life. And being in the season where New Year's resolutions are fresh in many people's minds, I want to draw your attention to Paul's resolutions and challenge us together to consider what they are and embrace them for ourselves. And having said that, let's turn together to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. I read, Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. When we come to chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, it is important to understand its context. Paul, who founded the church of the Philippians, according to Acts chapter 16, is now in prison. And being in prison, he has received report and is concerned about the church regarding a group of people within the church that are called the Judaizers. These people, or these Jews, had believed in Jesus Christ, but the problem with them was they were telling other believers within the congregation, especially Gentiles who had converted to Christianity, that they had to continue to keep the law, or rather they had to keep the law. Christ was not enough. They needed something else, and that was the law. They needed to be circumcised. They needed to keep the dietary as well as the festivals. They needed something else. Christ alone was not enough. Now, if you know Paul, you will know that that is not what he preached and taught. The message of Paul and of the gospel was and is to this day that salvation is by faith alone, through Christ alone, and that Christ alone is enough. And once you have Christ, you need nothing else. Therefore, to help the church with this issue, Paul will take them into what I believe is one of the most beautiful sections of the New Testament, containing a profound and clear description of what believers in Christ must become, what they are not yet, and what they must do to get there. And therefore, our first point this morning is, we are not there yet. Look at verse 12 and 13. Note that I have already obtained this, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, Paul says. Paul in these verses speaks of something that he has not yet obtained, something not yet acquired, something he has not yet taken hold of and even received. Reading these verses, we do not have a clue of what he means by that. But in the second part of the verse, he adds a little phrase that might just help us in trying to figure out what he's trying to say. The phrase is, I am not already perfect, or I am not already complete. Now remember, the Judaizers in the church are telling the people that you need to have something else than Christ, but also they believe that they had attained a state of perfection. And Paul is saying to us from verse 12, I am not already perfect or complete. And who is talking here? This is the great Apostle Paul. If we are to consider the extent of his missional expertise and achievement, Paul was the pioneer of cross-cultural missions. Humanly speaking, he was by far ahead of the rest. He did what nobody else did and went where nobody went before him. He could be called a super apostle, you know, above the bishops that you know and the archbishop and those guys. But that is not how he saw himself. He had a different perspective about his person and his life. There seems to be a standard known to him against which to measure himself. For him, there is more to life and ministry than just achievements. There is a goal to attain that he has not yet attained. But at the same time, there is something he and the Philippians have already attained. According to verse 16 of our passage, when he says, "Only let us hold true to what we have attained." So there is the not yet attained, and there is the already attained. What is Paul trying to say? I believe this speaks of the salvation they have in common. Paul and the Philippians are saved by Jesus. Salvation is attained, and that is what binds them together. But there is something else not yet attained. It desires it, but hasn't reached it yet. In other words, he is not satisfied with where he is at, spiritually speaking. He wants to get to a higher place, if I can put it that way. He is working towards getting there. Why do I say that? Because verse 12 goes on to say, "Not that I have already obtained this, I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." Whatever this is, Paul is not going to rest until he gets it. There is an element of dissatisfaction about his spirituality. He wants more than what he has. His point is, I have been saved by Jesus who has made me his own. I now belong to Jesus, but that's not all. He has saved me for a purpose, and that purpose I must attain. I don't know about you, but I don't always go after everything I need. Sometimes I get satisfied with a partial acquisition of that thing I needed. You know the saying? Better something than nothing. But that was not true about Paul. In fact, I watched a video of a young man who had a list of things to do in 2025. And the last day of the year, which was the 31st of December, he sat down with his list of 5 goals for a review. First item on the list was, I must buy a car. Second item, I must save 10,000 rand. Third item, I must buy myself a new phone. Fourth, I should live a happy life. Fifth, I should start my own business. After reviewing his 5 points, this is what he got to. Item number 1, which was, I must buy a car. He just added 3 letters after car, which were PET, and he said, 2025, I bought a carpet. Second item on the list was, I must save 10,000 rand. So he scrapped 3 zeros, and he was left with, I saved 10 rand. Third item on the list, which was, I must buy a phone, well, it changed to, I must buy a phone case. Fourth item on the list, which was, well, I must live a happy life, well, he scrapped happy, and then it was left with, I must live. And fifth item, which was, I must start my own business, while he scrapped, I must start, and then he was left with, mind my own business. So the reality about that young man, he had plans. And he really wanted to get to his goals. But life circumstances got in the way of achieving what he wanted to achieve. For this person, life circumstances got on the way of what he set out to do. And he was satisfied with what he managed to accomplish at the end of 2025. But that's not the case for Paul. Nothing was going to deter him from reaching that goal. And the question that I have for us this morning is, what is that goal? Well, I'm glad you asked. The goal can be found in chapter 3 still, but if we go a bit back and look at verse 8 and verse 10, there Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ." And verse 10, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." The goal Paul is saying to us is to know Jesus Christ. I press on, verse 12, to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Paul is telling us Jesus has saved me. And because Jesus has saved me, I must become like him. And the only way to become like him is to know him. The more I know him, the more I become like him. And that's exactly what Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son." Knowing Jesus and becoming like him is the perfection that we are talking about. It is now what we must live for. And Paul repeats that twice in verse 8 and in verse 10 to emphasize his point. Knowing Jesus, he says, is worth more than everything else. Gaining Christ is far superior to holding to what was valuable to him. And church, attaining the full knowledge of Jesus Christ and to resemble Jesus Christ, according to Paul, is the goal of the Christian life. It is what Paul is running after. Think about it for a second. We are talking about a man who met Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. He wrote most of the books in the New Testament. He revealed Jesus to us in his letters. He presented rich doctrines of the Christian faith. He went to a place called Third Heaven, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 and 4. None of us knew that that place existed up until we read about it. But here, that person, that man, that apostle is telling us, "Folks, I am not satisfied with where I am at, spiritually speaking. There is still room for growth. There is still room for improvement in my life as the apostle Paul. There is still a lot I need to know about Jesus Christ." Paul is saying, "Trust me, I do not know him fully yet. I'm not yet perfect. I'm still striving to be like him. I'm still growing. There is still progress for me to make in my walk of faith, my Christian journey, and my relationship with Jesus." In other words, Paul is saying, "I am not yet arrived." Paul's attitude, considering this reality, is that of humility. He looks at the Philippians and does not consider himself superior to them. To him, they are all on the same boat. None has arrived. To make his point clear, he uses a gentle term, one filled with affection and humility, and says in verse 13, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own." In other words, brothers, I'm not there yet. I've not yet arrived, same as you. And church, let me tell you this morning, perfect people don't require prayers. If you are perfect here this morning, I'm not going to pray for you. None of us in these corridors of the faith, on this journey of sanctification, has the right to think they've arrived. We must know that Christian perfection is not yet achieved. Therefore, the desire to grow must characterize our lives. And that's daily, weekly, monthly, and even yearly. Can you now answer this question with me? Are you becoming more like Jesus? Is that what you live for? We should watch how we relate with one another. On one hand, we should be careful to point fingers at others. And on the other hand, we should humbly accept to be shown the way back to Jesus with the truth of God's word. We should be prepared and be humble enough to accept correction and rebuke. Now, flash news. Centralite or Hillite. Our pastors, our elders, deacons, ministry leaders, committee members, and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are not yet perfect. Parents, you are not yet perfect. You are not yet like Christ. And I want us parents to be aware of that. Children, no doubt about your parents. Especially when they say and act in ways that shock you. In the same way, you are not off the hook, children. Teens, young adults, don't think highly of yourselves. Don't look down upon your parents and crucify them for mistakes they made in the past. You are not without sins yourself. Jesus, the Bible tells us, is not yet done with them. Jesus is still being formed in the parent, just like Jesus is still being formed in you, children. What about husbands and wives? Please show grace to each other. Humbly and honestly admit to each other that, love, you know what? I am not there yet. I am still growing in my knowledge and likeness of Christ, and please bear with me. Now that we know that about ourselves, we must adopt a different attitude when dealing with one another. How is that, you may ask? Well, pray more for one another. And forgive one another too. You know what the problem is when we fail to show grace to one another? We nullify the work of God in the lives of His children. Let me repeat that again. You know what the problem is when we fail to show grace to one another? We nullify the work of God in the lives of His children. What I'm trying to say is, when we focus on the negative sides of fellow believers, we might not see the transforming work of the Spirit of God in them. People might not be where they ought to be, but if we look carefully, they might not be where they used to be. And therefore, let's learn to praise God for even the little work of grace seen in others. Let's avoid bringing the past back to life. So let me recap before we look at the last point quickly. So the goal of the Christian life is to attain perfection, to become more and more like Jesus. But the truth is, we are not there yet. And that is why we cannot be satisfied with where we are at, spiritually speaking. We cannot be satisfied with how things are standing. We must desire to grow in the likeness of Jesus and to know Him more. Second point. We must therefore press on. Look at verse 13b to 14. Straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upright call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but no one likes to be reminded about their past, especially our sins, our mistakes, and our former way of life. For Paul, his former way of life was Judaism. He let go of his Jewish religious credentials that he thought were profitable, but realized they were in fact damning to his faith. For some, progressing in their faith is not possible because they are holding on to the past. They're holding on to some past and painful experiences. Others can't move, feeling stuck with the thought of guilt. How they disappointed God or fellow human beings. How they failed to keep promises made. How they got hurt by a fellow brother or sister in Christ. How they got hurt by a church leader or even the church. What should we do then? Paul says, forget what lies behind. Leave the past to where it belongs, the past. And he says, lay hold of that which is ahead. If you really find it difficult to move, I want to urge you this morning, approach the elders of the church and let them guide you and walk the road with you. Because Christ has made provision for us to experience restoration as well as healing. We should forget the past and focus on the future. We should forget about the past and focus on what lies ahead. And that is what we must pursue. It is the prize to get. We must work hard. We must be focused. We must avoid being distracted. Our eyes must be set on that prize. And what is the prize? Paul says in verse 14, it is the upright call of God in Christ Jesus. In simple terms, it is us becoming like Jesus, something that we said before, or it is simply to see Jesus and to be with Him. When will that be? When are we going to see Jesus? At the resurrection, isn't it? Or at the rapture. The question then becomes, do we live with that mindset every day of our lives? Are you looking forward to the return of Christ? Are you looking forward to your resurrection? We should all desire more of Jesus Christ. What do we do then to get there? Well, I think God has given us the means of grace to aid us in that regard. I want us this year, and I want to beg you just like I'm begging myself, that we resolve to attend church faithfully this year. Join the Bible study and aim to grow. Ladies, resolve to be faithful in attending your meetings. Young ones, do the same with your group gatherings. Individually, let's resolve to read the Bible daily, pray more, get to know fellow believers in the church, become intentional about it. maybe this year God wants you to fast more. Get involved in the church more. Love God more and His people more. Do everything in your power to grow and become more like Jesus Christ. And church, let me tell you, you will not grow and become more like Jesus if you live isolated from the church. And for that, we must press on. Let's not start well in January and February, and by March we say, I've had the dose for the entire year. But let's press on, week in, week out, every month, every trimester, every semester. Let's do that. And at the end of the year, when we sit down to do a review of what 2026 has been like, even though we cannot fully attain perfection, but we can say, I have grown. I have grown and I can see Jesus really flourishing in me more and more. And that should be the desire of our heart. And that is my prayer for you, because guess what? You are not yet perfect. And I pray for imperfect people. And because I'm not yet perfect myself, I pray and I beg of you, pray for me too. So that all together we can grow more in Christ's likeness and we can please the Lord who has saved us in order for us to be like Him. Let's pray together. Father, I praise You for what Jesus Christ has done and for what we have in the Word. Thank You that we can encourage each other. Thank You that we can pray for each other. And thank You that we can stimulate each other and stir each other up to good works. Help us, O Lord, to know how finite, how limited, how imperfect we are. And let's run to Jesus and asking for help. Let's also desire to grow, O God. Because that is the goal of the Christian faith, to be like Christ. Not to be stagnant, but to grow, to develop, to mature. And oh, here, Holy Spirit, won't You work in our hearts. Do in our hearts that which You alone can do, so that we can please the Lord our God, and we can grow as well as in our faith and our walk in this year 2026. I thank You, I praise You, and I honor You. Because You are at work, and we can trust You to do that which You started and to bring it to completion. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.